time to join Joan Lewis. EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome. She brings us the Vatican Week in review. So, Joan, welcome back to the show.
On a very, very warm day, of course.
Summer's here at last.
Yes, it did take quite a while. We skipped spring, didn't we, I think? Had lots of rain and then went directly to tropical heat. Things are calming down, as they always do, in July and August at the Vatican. Pope's not away. He is so-called vacationing, but still residing in the Santa Marta in the Vatican. And it's really interesting because, of course, Castel Gandolfo, where he did go on Sunday, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But Castel Gandolfo, of course...
Which is a summer residence.
Summer residence. It's in what's called the Roman Hill Towns, the Castelli Romani.
It's cooler.
And exactly.
Close to a lake, overlooking a lake.
Oh, that's the whole thing. And Lake Albano, an extinct volcano and so forth. It, not only is it extraordinarily beautiful, but it is cooler, and the popes have gone there for centuries, not decades, centuries. You kind of wonder Pope Francis has opted to stay in Rome, but I'm sure that the other part of the personnel, maybe Swiss guards, people like that that have to guard the residence, were probably hoping for slightly cooler weather, which they won't get. But the Pope did go on Sunday and spent the morning there, said the Angelus, with the huge crowd filling the small square right outside the main door of Castel Gandolfo. And interestingly enough, the Holy Father, instead of being in the balcony from the Apostolic Palace, because it's like a double balcony, you're walking down a hall in the Apostolic Palace, and on one side a window opens and there's a balcony looking out onto the inner courtyard of the Papal Palace. And on the other side of that same corridor is a window and balcony where Benedict XVI said his final goodbye as Pope. And that's where a Pope would normally go. But of course, this is the papacy of daily surprises. So Francis stood in the front door of the residence, Swiss guards and gendarmes present.
But people could still see him.
Oh, sure.
It's raised.
It's raised. Right. Yeah. It's just a sloping upward or downward, depending on where you're coming from. Obviously, the Angelus and various reflections. And then he went around. I think he wanted to meet every single person in the square. He thrilled the people by saying those eight magic words, "Dear brothers and sisters, good morning to you." Sometimes he just says buongiorno, two words, and the crowd gets rapturous, which they did Sunday. So he did speak about the day's gospel, as he does at any Angelus anywhere, the gospel of the Good Samaritan. And he said, why do we talk about the Samaritan? Because they were very much, actually, people very disliked. But it was the Samaritan, and instead of a priest or a Levite, who walked right by this man who had been beaten up by robbers, they walked right by him when it would have been their duty. I can't say Christian duty, but their duty. And here's the Samaritan, and he takes care of this man. And the Holy Father said that this story really shows God's mercy for everyone and how we are to be merciful and thoughtful and loving and caring for our own brothers and sisters, and not just the brothers and sisters in the family we were born into, but we're all brothers and sisters, the people we know and the people we don't know. So, but the Pope's morning, other than the Angelus prayer and greeting people, hugging babies, et cetera, he actually, before the Angelus, did meet with the staff of the Papal Palace there, including Saverio Petrillo, who's been there for decades and decades and knows every square inch of Castel Gandolfo, including the farm. Territory-wise, Castel Gandolfo is 11 hectares, I'm not sure what that is in acres, bigger than Vatican City. It's 55 hectares, Vatican City's 44. And a good deal of the total acreage at Castel Gandolfo is a wonderful farm, which produces products that are brought daily to the papal household and sold daily in the store in the Vatican supermarket. It was a wonderful morning, and the Pope did go, by the way, and have lunch at the Vatican Observatory with the Jesuits there, because they've run the observatory for centuries.
His community.
Yes, his own community. There are two telescopes on the Apostolic Palace in Castel Gandolfo. And then on the top floor of the palace, which I've visited quite a number of times, the original observatory offices and school and little museum and everything, those have now been moved to a convent monastery elsewhere on the papal property, a monastery that had been vacated. It allows the Jesuits to accomplish a lot more. And they don't really use the telescopes at Castel Gandolfo as much. The Vatican's VATT, the Vatican Advanced Telescope Technology, is on Mount Graham in Tucson, Arizona, where there's very little interference from city lights. Well, that was really his major event of the week. We know there's no Wednesday audiences.
There's no morning masses because we get listeners writing in and asking about that.
Why
are you not covering the morning masses? But there are no morning masses at the moment.
The other big event, if you want to call it that, this week was the information from Father Lombardi, of course, head of Vatican Radio, head of the press office. Father Lombardi gave a briefing to journalists. One item came out, that item being that Pope Francis has opted to use in Rio de Janeiro, in the public spaces where he's going to have masses or meetings with the young people, he has opted to use the Jeep, the white open Mercedes Jeep that he uses in Vatican City. There will be two Jeeps. The second one will be there as a backup. It's green, actually in color. Father Lombardi did go through the papal agenda day by day, which we need not necessarily do today. I can mention a few highlights, but he went through the daily agenda, which we will be seeing on a daily basis. Obviously, Vatican Radio, all the media will be covering the Holy Father's every move and his every word. But if you look at where he's going, what is so interesting is that Rio was not the destination chosen by Pope Francis for World Youth Day. It was his predecessor. Also, Benedict's schedule was a little bit lighter when they were originally laying these plans out for World Youth Day, just given his age and energy level, which, of course, he said, you know, is the reason for his resignation. Pope Francis has added quite a number of things. He will make a trip to
the
Shrine of Aparecida, exactly. And that's about 200 kilometers, from 125 miles from Rio. He will go there by helicopter. So I did mention that he's going to be using the open Jeep. But if there's longer trips within the city, for example, his residence is on a hillside where he's going to be staying, not the Nunciature, because the Nunciature is always in the capital of a country, and Brasilia, not Rio, is the capital of Brazil. So he's staying in a very lovely building on a hill about 8 miles from the center of Rio. To cover that distance, he would be in a covered car. So helicopter, though, on the third day that he's there, because the day after he arrives, there's nothing planned for him. There will be for young people. There will be catechesis. There's going to be confessions and everything else. So all the young people certainly will be busy, as will the about 1,100 bishops, not to mention thousands of priests who will be present with the groups from the, I think it's 190 countries are expected to be represented. So the Pope has added Aparecida.
There's a Marian shrine there.
And Our Lady of Aparecida. So, and again, we will all be talking about that particular day, that visit, that site.
Of course, our Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI visited when he went to Brazil.
He did in 2007. He did. And for a meeting of bishops and regional the regional bishops. And then John Paul went four times, although three were actual visits, and the fourth time, one of those four times, was simply a landing during another flight. And I think he got off the plane and kissed the ground and met a few people and got back on the plane. The Holy Father added, as we said, Aparecida. He will visit a hospital, and apparently there's going to be an inauguration of like a new wing or part of the hospital, which is being dedicated just to people with addiction problems. He will visit a favela, which is a really kind of a shanty town, a very, very, very poor neighborhood. And he worked in that type of neighborhood in Buenos Aires. So this will be nothing new. Although I rather enjoyed Father Lombardi's comment that the local authorities, and I'm sure in conjunction with Vatican gendarmes, are going to make sure that the favela is totally safe from the point of view of no drugs and no arms.
I gather he's going to meet with a family in the favela, and the family doesn't know yet.
Well, and that's smart. I mean, just for security's sake, that's smart. One interesting thing that Father Lombardi brought up, to go to the papal flight, he leaves on Monday, the 22nd of July, and then leaves Rio on the 28th to arrive in Rome after an overnight flight on the 29th. But Pope Francis told Father Lombardi he does not intend to give a formal press conference on the plane, as other popes have done. John Paul just did it freely. I mean, it was, you ask me what you want to, I'll answer. And with Benedict, the questions were prepared. They had to be given to Father Lombardi, who then chose them, and Benedict answered them. The Pope has indicated that he will go back, but he wants to meet each one of the media people present.
Can you imagine the tweeting that will go on?
Oh, my gosh. Can you tweet from a plane? I suppose. I don't know. Well, in any case, there will be tweeting, and as soon as things can actually be sent and uploaded and downloaded and whatever, they will be. Father Lombardi said it would be on the trip over, so maybe on the trip back. He will answer questions, having been to Brazil, having experienced a family. By the way, he's going to have lunch. Pope Francis is going to have lunch with 12 young people one of the days. There's only going to be like two other bishops present. It's not going to be a massive thing. And Father Lombardi said he hoped to have for the media one or two of those young people.
Apparently they're from each continent plus from Brazil.
But just interesting little things. The Pope, for example, on Thursday will go to City Hall in the morning. He's going to get the keys to the city, and then he's going to bless the flags that will be flown for the Olympics and the Paralympics. As we know, Brazil hosts the Olympics in 2016, and next year, 2014, they host the World Cup. The trial and error group is going to be the World Youth Day. And I get a little upset when I do look at coverage from Brazil on, you know, international media, international secular media, I guess I should say, when they mention the World Cup and they mention the Olympics in Brazil, because we know there's been some unrest lately having nothing to do with the Pope or the Church. And so the Holy See, the Vatican, is not worried, for the Pope because of that. But here you're going to have 1 million apparently for sure, and figures are even higher. Father Lombardi said we'll know all of this in a week when we're there. But no mention of World Youth Day. You know, the Pope, the first Latin American Pope, is going to the continent of Latin America. And it's going to be an awesome, awesome event and huge numbers. So I think those numbers should be mentioned by the media, and obviously we hope everything goes well for the young people. It's a whole different crowd that comes to a World Youth Day as opposed to an Olympics. The young people don't go to buy souvenirs. Well, they buy some, sure, but they go to be with the Holy Father. They go to be reaffirmed and to help reaffirm other young people in their faith. That's what I was told any time that in Madrid, 2011, every language I know, I went around and interviewed kids, and that was the common denominator. Why are you here? Why did you spend your time and your money, and you could have gone on a, you know, fun beach vacation or something? No, no, no. We came to see the Holy Father, to be reaffirmed and to reaffirm others in their faith. Because, you know, there's going to be young people there from countries where Christians are persecuted. That is a massively important thing, that these people, young people, get to come, and then they're going to want to be reassured by young people from other countries. You know, we're behind you. We pray for you.
Well, thank you very much, Joan.
Well, listen, we're all going to be in touch with the Holy Father. There's every kind of media that the Lord and scientists have created that's going to follow this trip.